This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, the Australian duo, Luluk. Welcome to Zoe Randall, Steve Hassett. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for dropping by JPR.
Thanks very much.
The newest record is called Passerby, out on Sub Pop. Not the first, but certainly the first released here in the States. We'll talk about that earlier work in just a few minutes. You guys are originally from where? Melbourne, Australia?
Yep.
But a hometown with one of the craziest names I've ever seen. How do you pronounce the actual town name?
Okay, well, I grew up actually 2.5 hours north of Melbourne in an area called Upotipotpon.
One more time?
Upotipotpon.
And how big of a town is Upotipotpon?
Calling it a town would not be quite correct. It's more like an area of farms. There's, I think, 4 farms, but they're big, so it takes up quite a large area of land. And nearby there's Gamalaby, which has a fire truck in a garage and a church that hasn't been used for a while, and that's pretty much it.
Wow. How about you, Steve?
I grew up in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
Okay.
Vermont. Vermont is where I grew up, yeah.
And where's home for you two now?
It's a mix of New York and Melbourne. So half the year in New York and half the year in Melbourne.
That's a lot of traveling in addition to touring.
Yes.
Yeah, we just try and do the flight once a year.
Is that to get home and see friends and family?
That's right.
I mentioned at the top, Passerby, not your first album, but it's the first one that was released really worldwide. It was a six-year span between Passerby and the record that you released earlier. Mm-hmm. You guys don't get around to putting music out very often.
Well, moving country twice a year makes things a little complicated, adds a little time. But I guess, there's no rules for us. We really just wanted to make, like with our first record, we made the record we wanted to make, and it took the time that it took, and it's the same with the second one. So our third one might be quicker, it might be longer, I don't know.
And is it true that for Passerby, it actually took a couple of attempts to get this record made? You had recorded songs and then scrapped them, didn't like the way that they turned out?
Yeah, we were recording in Australia and we didn't feel like we were quite finding the right voice for them, and we felt like we needed to get a third person involved in terms of the production.
Well, for the most part, I mean, obviously there's some additional production elements on the record, but for the most part, it's the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when the two of you sit down with a pair of guitars and your two voices, how much different can it really be from one studio to another?
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's more the voicing of the songs is what Zoe was saying.
Mm.
Yeah, really down to the delivery and the nuances between us, our core elements, but also, those extra layers that our producer was able to bring in and little touches of orchestration that we felt were really important.
And speaking of producers, who did you end up working with for this record?
Well, we got Aaron Dessner from The National working with us, and that sort of came about because we met and we got along really well, and we were actually staying upstairs in his house, and it just turns out that he had an incredibly sympathetic and aligned sense of what the songs were about and what sort of treatment that they needed. So he was able to work with us very seamlessly, which is quite a thing, actually, because we've got a very clear vision of what we want to do, and it's very aligned. So it was really amazing that he was able to come in and work with us.
And a clear view of the calendar that you will be on when you put out new music. A lot of people around here are very familiar with The National. This last year, that documentary that came out about the band. Luluk is my guest live in the JPR studios. Their new record is called Passerby, out on Sub Pop Records. What is it that you guys want to start with today?
We're going to start with the opening track from Passerby, and it's called Small Window. Flying over Chicago, bare trees line the white snow. Daylight fades and lines of cars flash across the night in red and gold. What a view from my small window. What a view from this small window. Mm-hmm. On the way, another new home. Looking out on the streets, I'll come to know. And different faces, but they'll remind me of those I love far from here. Swim all the way, but must learn to use my body well. You wake me with your gentle cooing voice. For all I long for, far more I rejoice.
That is Lou Luke live here on Jefferson Public Radio. That is the lead-off track from the album called Passerby. It's Zoe Randall, Steve Hassett, live in the JPR studios. You guys have a bit of a fairy tale beginning. In, of all places, Scotland is where you crossed paths originally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, it was a long
15
time.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Well, most Australians, when they travel, they go for a long time. And Steve and I both, you know, separately, before we met each other, went to the UK. And I was working in Scotland at the Arts Festival there. And I'd gone traveling without a guitar. I'd left my first band, decided it wasn't for me. And then a few months in, I regretted it and really wanted one. And it turns out that Steve is connected to my cousins of mine that lived in London. And they saw him and that he was traveling with a guitar. So they sent him my way. And I borrowed his guitar.
Did you start singing and making music together immediately?
We did, actually, probably within 24 hours of meeting. we started singing, working on one of Zoe's songs, and we sang together, and it had this a blend that, you know, I'd been singing with a lot of people, and we had this blend together, and I was like, wow, that sounds pretty darn good. But we didn't put an album out for ages after that.
Was the music that you started making initially very similar to what we're used to hearing now from you?
I guess so.
Yeah, I guess so. It just took a while for Zoe to... Why did it take a while for us to get an album?
Well, we went back to Australia and I actually had left school quite young, so I decided to go to university and get an education, or a conventional one anyway. I got an unconventional one. and then, you know, we're working and I guess I was sort of dabbling in songwriting and showing Steve little ideas along the way, but it wasn't until my father passed away that I decided to sort of reassess what I was doing, and I thought, well, I could sort of play the safe thing and keep studying and do something, I guess, sensible, or maybe I could follow music because it, you know, was really important to me. And I did. I decided to stop studying, stop working. We moved to Malta, and well, we moved to New York and Malta for 6 months, and we started working on songs, and pretty much that's all we've been doing since.
This hasn't come up in very many of the interviews that you have done in the States. It came up in some of the interviews that you had done in Australia a number of years ago that the music making was perhaps a smokescreen for a courtship.
It doesn't come up for a reason.
So there are definitely stories there. You mentioned that you were both making music before Le Luke.
Yeah.
Were any of those bands at the point of releasing records?
Yeah. I mean, I was in a sort of high school psychedelic rock band. That was my thing before I met Zoe. But then when we did meet, we came back to Melbourne. We lived for, you know, a bunch of years, and we were both playing in other bands. Mm. And they both did really well. I was in a band called Wagons, and Zoe was in Grand Selva. And they're both still doing really well on the local scene there.
We were the foils. I was the harmonist in Grand Selva, and Steve was the harmonist and bass player in Wagons.
Yeah, we were the side people. And so when we put a record out together, it was,
there was some anticipation. It's like, when are those two going to do something?
Yeah, probably a tiny bit of anticipation on the global scale, but it was enough.
But it was big for Melbourne.
Tell me about the significance of the name that you have chosen for the band, Luluk.
It's like, I think it's a French nickname, and I don't think it has any particular significance, but the thing that we liked about it was the sort of lilting quality about it, and also that it was a name for an act that didn't sort of already have a meaning. That was quite important, actually, because it's a collaboration. They're my songs primarily, but Steve works on them with me, and then, you know, Steve does the production side of things, although I'm very involved in that as well, so we really do the whole thing together, and so it was appropriate that we had a band name, and that means we can add other members as we choose as well.
It also sounds a heck of a lot prettier when you say it than when we say it here in the States.
You're doing pretty well.
Luluk, my guest live in the JPR studios today. Their album is called Passerby, out on Sub Pop. Will you play another one?
Sure. This one is called Winter is Passing, and it was actually written when we were living upstate New York.
Tap each other in the cool breeze. It's an ominous sound when bones clack, twigs fall to the ground. So soon there'll be blossoms. Lilac blue mountains cast against the sky. The sun is leaving beyond the rise. Wind is biting on my skin. Pale fields of grass waiting for the sun, and the spring, what it can bring. Winter is passing, I wonder what's to come. When I return again, how will you be?
That is Luluk live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album out on Sub Pop Records is called Passerby. It's Zoe Randall and Steve Hassett live in the JPR studios. One other interesting connection that you guys have made over the years was to connect with Joe Boyd, who interestingly worked with Nick Drake, whose music sounds very similar to yours in a way. Not entirely, but in a way. Was the music that the two of you were making prior to connecting with Joe Boyd, did it have the same sonic quality that it does now, or was there a transformation to a degree that happened after working with him and getting his impressions of how music should sound?
Interesting. No, I think it happened the other way, as in we were influenced by Joe Boyd's, perhaps his records. Like, we love Nick Drake, and we like a lot of the more mellow music, and the first record we made was sort of was a bit of a mood piece, and you know, and Pink Moon is similar like that. So I think maybe Joe was drawn to the fact that we were influenced by the music he'd been. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the other thing interesting, especially Pink Moon, as you mentioned it, this is a record that I don't remember how many years ago it was recorded. It sounds like it could have been recorded yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it still holds up, and your music has that same quality that you can't really put a finger on exactly when it was made.
Yeah.
It just has this kind of eternal feel to it.
Yeah, well, I think they're the kind of records we're drawn to, music that's sort of not, you know, trying to reference any particular fashion or something. It's like there's a, I don't know, I mean, I think Nick Drake's work is a really good example of someone whose songwriting is so, his the world that he creates is so complete, and he really invites you into it, and you don't sort of question or doubt it when you're in there, you know. So that's kind of the thing we're striving for, I guess.
And they're kind of perfectly simple songs.
Yeah, yeah, deceptive.
Which are very difficult to write.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the swan dive. You know, it doesn't have all the tucks and twists and turns, but it's actually the hardest dive to do well.
You mentioned your earlier record, which was a tribute, Zoe, to your father.
Mm-hmm.
Not only on that recording, but on the new one as well. A lot of your songs tend to focus on loss or longing. You guys are a long, long way from home.
Mm-hmm.
Does some of that just come natural for people that travel halfway across the globe and are away from family and friends?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the benefits, I think, as you know, trying to do artistic work is actually, and part of the reason we've kept traveling is because that sort of distance and reflection on where you're from and your connections and the sort of the strength of connections that you can feel even when you are a long way from people, and I guess then when people have passed away as well, and that how that stays with you, and it's very informative to the songwriting.
Your music is so tender and generally so soft. Is it hard for you guys when you go out on tour, especially at venues where you've never been before, to figure out how to make your sound fill rooms of variable sizes and shapes?
That's a really good question, actually. I mean, because Nick Drake himself famously didn't have a live career because the rooms he played weren't listening to him. You know, I mean, how that's a very sad thing, right?
Yeah.
But we've worked really hard to try and make our show, you know, project and work hard on getting the sound to fill the room. I mean, Zoe's voice fills the room quite effortlessly anyway, but it's more about just getting the sounds up, you know, when you don't have the full rock band behind you, which we've both had at various stages in our lives. But yeah, it's been working really well. We've been fortunate enough to play huge outdoor amphitheaters and small intimate clubs, and we've always found a way to make it work.
And despite the fact that it's soft music, I mean, we very much imagine and hope that people listen to it up loud. I mean, I know that sounds strange, but it's true, you know. And when I'm conceiving of the songs, you know, I do imagine performing them through a PA. Like, I don't imagine doing it in a room or something. I imagine through a PA and it being big. And one of, you know, actually on this tour, I've been working with a lot of different engineers, and the engineers who get it quickly are the ones who they make it big, and it's only so you can hear it at the, you know, at every corner of the room. Mm. And then it doesn't, you know, it's, I don't know, it's great.
I think back to some of the recordings like Simon and Garfunkel, mm-hmm. recorded at Carnegie Hall. That's a gigantic space, and yet it's the two intimate voices up on stage. And if it's done right, mm-hmm. you still feel like you're sitting on stage with them.
Absolutely.
That's right, yeah.
You need a good engineer.
Lou Luke is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest release is called Passerby, out on Sub Pop Records. Zoe Randall, Steve Hassett are here. Before you guys play one last tune today, I want to ask about your two guitars, because they're both interesting in their own way. Zoe, you choose to play on a nylon string guitar.
Mm.
Why?
I prefer the tone, actually. Just straight up prefer the tone. And when I was first writing songs for Dear Hamlin, I was working on my mum's guitar, which is an old full-body, full-size nylon string, which is a beautiful sounding instrument. But it turned out after a while of playing it that actually the tone of my voice and the tone of the guitar blended too much. So then I played a friend who has a parlor-sized nylon, and I was playing his one day, and I realised that the tone was a bit higher and it suited my voice a lot better. So we started going on eBay and searching for guitars, and we actually ordered this from Germany, and it arrived in bubble wrap in a cardboard box, and it's a beautiful instrument.
And Steve, how about yours?
Yeah, this is an old German archtop, same deal, got it from eBay
in a box.
But it's an amazing guitar. It's got an acoustic quality to it, but it's an archtop, and we plug it in. We toured with just these guitars for a few years, but now we're actually traveling with a couple of other, some electric guitars that we play live, so the show's expanded a bit to include various guitars, but these are the core axes, if you will.
We'll have pictures up of both guitars and of Zoe and Steve on our website later this afternoon at www.ijpr.org, as well as audio from today's live session. What do you guys want to wrap up with today?
We're going to play a song called Reverie on Norfolk Street. And this song's kind of inspired by what we're just talking about, that sort of reflection on home and then, you know, being in new places. And I wrote it while we were living in the Lower East Side in New York on a street called Norfolk Street.
The sun comes in glowing on my bedroom wall. A staircase out the window, its shadow on the floor. Looking at the light and dust, a pretty golden storm. I can't help but wonder, do you miss me at all? I can't help but wonder, do you miss me at all? Schoolyard blues and dirty shoes kicking round the farm. City dreams calling out, leave it all behind. Some noise above it interrupts my quiet reverie. I can't help but wonder, do you ever think of me? Constancy of horns and sirens call out the whole day. City valleys catch the sound and turn it up again. The sweetest little birdsong somehow breaks through the din. I wonder if you and I will ever meet again. I can't help but wonder if we'll ever meet again. Even the day you left, I was just there as a friend. No, I never dreamed I'd let you go. Once this was the biggest place, now it just feels small too. How can it be that I was ever scared of loving you? It was just the time and need for rhyme in amongst the blue. I guess I could just confess I really needed you. I guess I could just confess I really needed you. I guess I could just confess I really needed you.
That is Lou Luke live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Passerby, out on Sub Pop Records. Steve, Zoe, thanks so much for coming in.
A pleasure.
Thanks for having me, sir.